In 1919, he hit 29 home runs and was sold to the New York Yankees.
A three-run home run for Buffington. The Yankees now lead it by a score of 3-2.
Bill Lee is now going over to a couple of the Yankees, and there they go again.
Swung, hits it to deep left. That might send the Yankees to the World Series.
Varitek and A-Rod going at it. Roberts is going. Posada's throw. Roberts, safe.
What can I say? Just dip my heart and call the Yankees my daddies.
Welcome to Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. John Senecal, Brian Shackman here for episode 113. Coming off an interesting weekend for both teams. And you know, listen, we're leading up to, it's basically like a month from now when they start to play each other. And I think we should start with the Yankees because, you know, they came into the weekend a last place team. Every team in the division is still over 500. They had a four-game set with Tampa, arguably the best team in baseball. And before we get to the week ahead, what's your takeaway from that split?
Well, it's interesting because we were going to record last week, right? Yep. And then like construction in the studio out of
nowhere. They were drilling through the ceiling.
Yeah, so we postponed it. But I was coming in here last week with the doomsday scenario. Like I was all fired up. I was like, this team's awful. They're going to get swept by the Rays. They're just going to...
Typical John Senecal cynicism.
Yeah, typical Yankee fan though, but the way the season's been going, right? But coming off of the series with Tampa, other than the first game of the series, which was a clunker, great positivity in my opinion. Now, granted, the pitching wasn't as great as we would want it to be, right? But the run scoring is what I'm looking at. The run scoring, the Volpe home runs, the Judge home runs, the key defense, the being down and coming back. I mean, the second game of that series was the best game of the season by the Yankees, by far.
Yeah, I got your text.
And if the Yankees would have finished it off on Sunday, on Mother's Day, obviously coming off a win of the series would have been great, but to split with them and basically be in the same position you were going in, but not last place. The Red Sox are in last place again. Positive, in my opinion. And you have been going the whole season. You got seven games against the Rays, and you've only lost one of them by more than one run.
Right. So, producer Matt Sarois, who produces the show and my morning show on WTIC, said it was maybe the most exciting weekend of baseball all season. It just in terms of the back and forth,
yeah,
the runs, the competing of
yeah.
it.
It was one of those series where when I was watching it, even when there was stuff going on in the house, like we all sat down and watched it. We were glued, and like I was like when Judge almost knocked it out in the last game, I was like we're all sitting there like like on the edge of our seats. So yes, very entertaining series and very positive in my opinion for the Yankees, even though they split. I mean,
but it's interesting because they're going into this week's games, they're both, I mean, the Yankees aren't, Tampa's 5-5 in their last 10, and they're still 31-11 starting the week's games. I mean, it's just kind of amazing that they played some, it's not even middling baseball, they just, the Yankees played really well, and they're still that far ahead. I mean, they're still 8 games up as of Monday.
Yeah, it's crazy when you're, I go to the grocery store in the morning a lot, and there's a Yankee fan in there, and he always works there, and he's always talking to me about, what's going on with the team and stuff. And I'm like, it's nuts that it's the middle of May, and you're literally glued to the wild card standings.
Right, but that was my point, is that it really feels like they're already playing for the wild card.
And like, fighting for the wild card.
Because all...
And if you look at the schedules ahead, going way out,
yep,
you're going to be fighting the whole season.
And you have... The four teams at the top of the wild card standings as of Monday are all AL East. I mean, they're even ahead of the Astros, the Red Sox by just a touch, but they're still ahead of them.
It's funny. I looked at the standings the other day, and I was just kind of looking through like teams, and I looked at the Astros, and you always take a little bit of satisfaction when the Astros aren't playing good.
Oh yeah,
it's great. And as a Yankee fan, you take a little bit extra, but I feel like baseball fans in general, except for the 300,000. Astros fans that are out there like it when the Astros aren't playing.
And I don't know when that's going to end.
I don't think it ever will.
Because I agree with that wholeheartedly, and I embrace them as sort of like the evil empire of the 21st century kind of deal. So, I mean, it'd be nice if things could hold up. I mean, the Rangers spent a ton of money, and the Seattle Mariners are an incredibly likable team.
And the Rangers just got bad news on DeGrom. He's going to be out a little bit longer, and we all know that's just smoke. He ain't. Come on. Let's
You think he's done?
Let's get with the program here.
Like, well, that's his playbook.
His playbook, right? That's his playbook. He's on the Stanton plan. It's just how it works with him. And if you didn't know that going in,
they did.
They all knew that going in.
It's a risk reward. And I want to shelve the Oakland A's for a little bit later because I want to talk about the Red Sox because they got swept by the Cardinals and.
And Cassis, did he get his jersey?
I don't even know. I don't even care. Like that guy's. I think he's trying to be weird.
Was that just because the mic was on and they were just fighting for something? Like, hey, ask him for his jersey.
I don't know.
Like,
explain to people what happened.
So apparently, Arenado's on first base, and Tristan Cassis asked him to swap jerseys.
Yeah,
Arenado said, "Well, you can take this one because it doesn't have any hits in it, anyways." And then I guess in his next at bat, he hits a home run over the monster. And then the announcers are all joking that he's not going to get the jersey.
Not getting the jersey. That's funny that Cassis was asking for it at first base.
It just seems like an unfair trade to me at this point.
Yeah, but I think
runner up to the NL MVP and.
And Tristan
perennial, Cassis. Yeah, and Tristan Cassis.
He's not perennial anything yet, but I mean.
Well, he's a perennial all-star.
Who is? Cassis, though.
Oh, no. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Very lopsided trade there.
But what you have is you had, Kenley Jansen gets his 400th save. And it was really nice. The Red Sox did a really nice, for a guy who's new to the team, they did a really nice job honoring him.
The quietest 400 saves in the book.
I know. And a guy who came up as a catcher.
Played for a lot of good teams, it shows you.
And who's from Curacao, and there's a lot of pride, that small, tiny island from Andrew Jones and, on up. And you can sort of see from Curacao, the shores of Curacao, you can see, I think, Aruba, where, of course, Xander Bogaerts, I believe, is from.
Yep.
And so, but then it always happens after something like that, that you come off this high, and he had two horrible outings. I mean, they blew that lead on Saturday, 3-1 going to the ninth. And then Ryan Brazier, who was a part of one of the meltdowns and didn't pitch well on Sunday night.
I'm really shocked that guy's still on the team.
He got DFA'd.
He finally did.
Yes.
Okay.
So the point is that you now have your star closer who just got 400 saves, who you would think now is going to be at someday, believe it or not, even though I never would put him in this category, he's going to be a Hall of Fame conversation guy. Everyone goes through patches. But to give away two wins like that against a team that has had a tough start, those are the games in May that cost you in September.
Yep.
And so I think that – and Brazier, I mean, listen, you don't pitch well, you got to be accountable for it. But so if they have that kind of trouble at the back end, I mean, Chris Sale went 8 innings, pitched a gem, and doesn't get a decision,
Jackson
and they don't win the game.
Too, didn't he?
Yeah, well, he had a lot of strikeouts, but yeah, ups and downs. It was the first time on the mound.
First time on the mound, exactly.
So there's some things that are encouraging out of the starting pitching, but if you can't have a better back end, you're going to really struggle. And so if you can't close out games against a team at St. Louis, which this time, listen, they'll probably rebound, but they've been losing a lot of games. I mean, it's not like they have a ton of fight in them. And I think it's tough. Forget about the fact that the Sox have overachieved. I mean, giving away games is infuriating for fans. And when your closer throws up on himself 2 days in a row,
yeah,
it's really, really hard. So I don't know how they're going to respond because the Red Sox, they have a couple with Seattle before they do that West Coast trip, and they got the Angels who are playing better. And Arizona, are they, if not the top of the West, they're second in the West, and they're a big surprise team.
And of course, the Dodgers. Like, no one's talking about the Dodgers. All of a sudden, you look up, and they got like a four or five game lead in the West.
Yeah,
like,
but they don't get the Dodgers this time. They get the Padres, the Angels, and the D-backs. So, I mean, we'll see what happens. That's going to be really fun. Always fun with San Diego for some reason because, Don Orsillo announces for them. Some reason the Padres are kind of a deal in our
house. They must have them at home, right? Or are they going on the road? Because
with the Dodgers?
No, San Diego and Seattle.
Yeah, no, they're doing the West Coast trip.
Okay. Because the Yankees are playing in Seattle at the end of May, too. So they're coming in right behind them, it must be.
Yeah, it looks like that. And then obviously at the beginning of June's got 6 games between the Red Sox and the Yankees where we'll sort some stuff out. But anyway.
They don't play till the middle of June. Now, wasn't it last year, too? They didn't play till like almost 4th of July or something
right.
like that.
And they're playing a couple fewer this year, right? It's not
13
anymore.
Only 13 as opposed to 19, so, which could bode well for the Yankees and Red Sox. It might give them a chance to make up some ground if they don't have to get sawed up by the Rays,
it's gonna
Jays,
be,
and
if O's. If this is the dynamic in September, it's going to be a crap ton of fun because if you have
September, I was thinking of what's it going to be like at the trading deadline.
Yeah, or whatever.
I mean, the Red Sox are going to be looking for pitching. The Yankees are going to be looking for pitching and a bat if Stanton's still sucking his thumb.
Right.
So,
but it's a different conversation, John, because
crazy.
The Red Sox conversation is going to be, well, this is not the year they were planning to be good. So why would they trade The same thing happened
if
before.
They're hanging around.
Why trade if you're not going to go for it? And so if they don't make deals, people are going to be super pissed because it's them staying with this plan. And the Yankees, you know, they'll mortgage anything to go for it. So we're going to have that dynamic again. The problem this time is if the standings stay the same, you have Toronto where their window's actually, it's not closing, but like, at some point it's got to happen for them, so they'll be desperate at the deadline if they're not going to
be
in first. And then the Orioles are going to have to make the same decision the Red Sox are. They're like, to what degree are we going to compromise a little bit of the future to go for it now?
The most to give,
but they also their timeline is this year is not the year for them,
right?
And I don't even think John Means is back from Tommy John, and he's a good pitcher. But I would think that Baltimore, what I've learned about sports, and this is what I would say, is that you never know what the future holds. So if you're close,
go for it.
You have to go for it.
Yeah.
And I'd be super disappointed if any of those teams don't. And so if all four buy in, it's going to be awesome.
It is going to be awesome.
So, I mean, in some ways, I'm fine with Tampa running away with it as long as these teams, because in the years past, we just talked about it, if you don't have the 19 intra-division, you can have all five teams above 500.
Yeah.
It can definitely happen.
It's going to be nuts.
It's going to be fun. He's John Senecal, and I still think the Red Sox are going to come back down to earth in a bigger way, but we'll see what happens. I'm Brian Shackman. This is episode 113 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports. You came in, and one of the first things you said to me is, you know, this Oakland A's thing. You know, the fact that, again, as of the start of this week, they're still not in double digits for wins.
Unreal. It's like in the middle of May, and they haven't won 10 games yet.
It's Their run differentials minus 157.
It's the worst. Yeah, it's insane. I can't believe it. Can you imagine? Like,
are they gonna have another season in Oakland before Vegas?
Well, they would have to. I mean, they
gotta
have
build.
A stadium.
Yeah, they gotta build it.
I mean, there's a AAA park in Vegas, but there's also a AAA team in Vegas, which I don't know what's gonna happen.
So the point is, I think they have another season in Oakland, and then someone said to me, "Well, they have great fans in Oakland." Well, I mean, I know the stadium's terrible, but you can't say that anymore. Really can't.
No, like, who wants to go watch that? Wants to spend money to literally know you're going to go there and most likely see crappy baseball and a loss?
Did you see John Boy had it? There are so few fans. One guy caught two home run balls.
Really?
Yeah. Over the weekend.
Unreal.
That's just classic.
I mean, they're probably, it's probably so bad there, and that's a big stadium that the players can probably hear literally every single word.
Oh, you can have an impact. Yeah. I got a story from that stadium when I was 13. I can't really tell it for radio because nobody really knows about it, even my dad. But when I was there, I was 13, it was like a life-changing thing for me. I got to work on whether I should tell it at a later date because it was like a welcome to manhood thing for me.
Was it in Philly? The lady was grinding that dude in the seats.
Yeah, that was.
Was it Philly or it was Philly,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, she was doing a little lap dance.
Yeah,
in the thing. Anyway,
stay classy, Philly. I think that was the headline.
But we did want to touch on before we go about this proposed stadium in Orlando, and
which looks and sounds awesome, right?
Beautiful.
If anyone's seen the pictures? It's basically like a glass domed complex. It's not just a stadium, it's like a complex,
and it'll be grass too, right?
Of a glass dome, and it looks like this guy Pat Williams, who brought the Orlando Magic to Orlando area.
Now is it a spec build, or he'll build it only if they get a team?
Only if they get the funding and a team. And you know, all, without getting totally into it, they want to build like a 45,000 seat stadium in lure of expansion team, or
the Rays,
most likely the Rays, who are looking to get a new stadium and just move them up the road a little further, which makes total sense, right?
I think it'd be great for the Rays. I think 45K is too big.
Yeah,
I mean especially for Florida baseball.
Maybe they're looking for some other, you know.
But Orlando makes more sense in Vegas. It's like Vegas in the sense that it has a built-in like fandom that won't be like it has tourists, right? So if you build a beautiful park, non-local fans of baseball will just want to go to the park.
It's supposed to be right basically near SeaWorld, so it's going to be in the general vicinity of everything. It's supposed to be on the end of a rail line, or you know, everything is supposedly planned out. But it's a matter of pushing it through, and I think everyone's a little bit leery of the bad deal that the taxpayers got on the Miami Marlins, but apparently this has got no taxpayer
burden. The reason why I think that, because I'm anti-Florida Major League Baseball in general, and the reason why Orlando is a better sell, not only because of the tourism angle of it because there are so many hundreds of thousands of tourists that go to Orlando because of the parks, but it doesn't have like a minor league or a spring training. It doesn't have a spring training culture.
Nothing there.
No, because spring training's not there.
I think the Braves were there and they left, I think.
They were at the ABC, ABC complex or whatever, but I don't think they're there anymore, but I have to check. But I don't think they have a big spring training element, which would make it even more appealing. So people should look online at the stadium specs because it is cool.
It says here that they're a $1.7 billion project, calls for $700 million in private funds and nearly $1 billion in public financing. Now, that would be the rub, right? The billion dollars in public financing. Now, this is how it says it's going to be paid. Financed through the tourist development tax, a resort tax on tourists that brings millions of dollars for tourism development. Now, that tax is already in place throughout Florida, which I'm sure brings zillions of dollars in.
So they just would divert some of it.
So they're going to move that and be creative with it. And I'm sure it will raise up a little bit. So
if I was an Orlando taxpayer or whatever, I think I would say yes. I mean, I think it's – and then you should look at the renderings. They're very, very cool. And I don't think Major League Baseball should be in Tampa. I don't think it should be in Miami either, but you can't do anything now because they built the stupid stadium.
Yeah, they're not going anywhere.
I just think that if you can watch the same guy 2 months ago for $15, why would you spend $50? It just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. All right. It just doesn't. I mean –
It'd be cheaper to fly up here and go to a Yard Goats game.
Yeah.
And you see better baseball probably.
And the Yard Goats, and the kids up here are so smart. One of my son's friends, and you know this too, you've done it. They get cards of these minor leaguers, and they go get them signed at the Yard Goats, and then like the Volpe card.
Yep.
This guy got a Volpe on card autograph, and he's got it now, and he's in the bigs. I mean, like it's crazy how smart these kids are. I do think the trading card business, we can use another episode on this, is a great business lesson stuff for our kids.
Yeah. Boy, it fluctuates like you wouldn't believe.
And my kids have switched their. They do football. Your kids do baseball. But they're like, I'm telling you, the market's it's flimsy, and so they've changed their approach. Instead of doing like a lot of like $5 and $10 cards, they're sort of dumping all of those and having just better cards, like the higher end card that might
make it
retain its value. Because I feel like the whole market could collapse at any time.
Of course, I mean, what is it built on? I mean, it's
scarcity.
Built on scarcity and people what they say. I mean, I don't know who makes up these prices, but it's disgusting. I spend a lot of money on baseball cards, but it is what it is.
Maybe we'll do an off season episode on that. He's John Senegal, I'm Brian Shackman. You've been listening to episode 113 of Fan Base, a deep dive into the greatest rivalry in sports.